Hi, everyone. It's Jen DeWall. And on this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast, I sat down with Russell Harvey to talk about an incredibly important topic, how to build resilience. We need resilience to overcome life's obstacles, to give ourselves permission to take that risk, to achieve our dreams. It's the thing that we need the most for our happiness and sense of fulfillment, but yet it can often be a hard skill to develop. But let me tell you a little bit more about Russell Harvey, who is today's guest. Russell is a resilience coach, a speaker, managing director, a podcaster, and Russell has over 20 years of experience in learning, leadership, and organizational development. And in this episode today, Russell and I sat down and talked about what resilience is, and Russell shared with you the 7 aspects of the resilience wheel, which is a starting point for how to think about how you can develop your own resilience. I hope you enjoy today's conversation as Russell and I talked about how to build resilience. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode where we are talking all about resilience, a topic that is so incredibly important when we talk about mental health, that is also very important when we talk about happiness, our fulfillment, our ability to pursue, achieve, and get those dreams that we have in our head. And to have this conversation on how to build resilience today, of course, you've heard about him on the intro. Russell Harvey, welcome to the Leadership Habit Podcast. We are so excited to have you. I am so excited to sit down and have this conversation with you. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jen. And I'm definitely excited to be here. I loved our little first chat, intro chat about have we got things to talk about? And oh, yes, we do. We have loads to talk about. So I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I would like the opportunity for you to introduce yourself to the audience. You live in the resilience space. You wear, for lack of a better descriptor, a lot of hats. So, Russell, if you wouldn't mind, would you go ahead and just tell our audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Absolutely, yes. So I am the resilience coach, Jen. It's not any old resilience coach. It's Russell, the resilience coach. It's clever marketing in there, you know, encapsulated the English language. So I describe myself as a coach and a facilitator. And the reason I specialize in this word resilience is probably it's specifically comes from about 10 years ago that the last big corporate business that I worked for got itself into some real challenges, and literally all of my internal clients came to me with their heads in their hands and going, what on earth are we going to do? I said, well, by the way, there's this word resilience, and there's this another acronym called VUCA, which we probably won't get a chance to talk about today. But I just sort of said, look, all of our answers, our way forward are in there. So whole career, learning, leadership, organizational development. And I have specialized in the word resilience for about the last 10 years, essentially. And I just think that when we talk about it properly, which we will today, I just think that there's a fantastic opportunity for people to live and lead a better life when they really understand this word resilience.
Absolutely. It's the root of everything that we do, everything that we feel or experience, I think, is underpinned by our ability to be resilient. But I love this. You said we're going to talk about it properly. And so maybe this is an opportunity to baseline. What does resilience mean to you, Russell, or how do you define resilience?
Yeah, thanks, Jen. So yeah, everyone listening now, I'd like you to remember resilience in this way. So resilience is about springing forward with learning. Springing forward with learning. I do hear, obviously, the word bounce back is used a great deal in relation to the word resilience. And just personally, I often think there's a bit of a risk. So we face into a challenging life event, and then sometimes we say, oh, I'm going to bounce back now. We sort of give a bit of a subconscious instruction to ourselves to go back to how we were. And in the nicest possible sense, we can't. And clever people and I that study the brain goes, yeah, your brain can't go back. What you need to do from all of life's experiences is get into the habit, whether it's good experiences, not so good experiences, of pausing and reflecting and re-energizing yourself. And in your reflections, you get your learning and making some options and choices about the things that you're going to keep doing because they work really well for you, and some things that you are going to stop doing because they haven't worked well for you in recent time. So when you do really great resilient reflection, then you actually understand actually the things that are and aren't working for you and really finding ways to play to your strengths as much as possible. So springing forward with learning is how I would love all your listeners to remember what the definition of resilience is.
I love that. And then it makes me think of that quote, like failure only happens when you stop getting back up again.
Yes.
But questions about reflection, what is your, from your perspective, is it something that you would recommend people doing on a weekly basis? Is it something where you would have them maybe go specific into the challenge or the obstacle that they're facing and reflecting on that? What are other maybe tips and tricks in terms of how they can think about building their own reflection practice?
So I think it's good to note that reflection is going on all of the time. So, you know, apparently we have about 50,000 thoughts a day and over half of them are negative. So a thought is a reflection. And actually 90% of my thoughts are from the previous day. And lo and behold, over half of those are negative. So it is absolutely understanding that any thought and feeling that you're having, it's okay. Self-compassion, it's all right to have the thoughts and feelings that you're having. And how well do you notice the thoughts that you are having? You know, how much are you, you know, being kind to yourself, congratulating yourself, beating yourself up? You know, how well self-aware are you that you're doing that? So we are reflecting all of the time because we are thinking all of the time. And then it would be useful because if you will need to sort of consciously make the choice, if you're not great at reflection, to start making it a habit. So all habit forming exercises, you've got to do what works. So, you know, for some people that is daily, some people that's weekly, some people that's more consciously fortnightly with a friend. You know, but it's actually do something conscious around actually the reflection is what I would suggest to you. You've got to do what works, and you also have to understand you've got to do it a few times. You've got to repeat it to make sure that you understand what works well about it. So you've got to just do what works for you, but do something.
Yes. And I love the stat that Harvard found that rarely, if ever, do people leaders take time to really, truly think anymore. And whether it's reflection or think about a meeting that might be coming up, build in that time to think. But you talked about in your response, and I want to dive a little bit deeper, you know, it's all about building that self-awareness. How do you know if you're actually struggling with resilience? How do you help your clients see that, hey, maybe this is a resilience problem?
So resilience is, you know, I know I'm biased, it's about the human condition. So it is noticing how you respond to the question that, fingers crossed, you are getting asked often, which is, how are you? How was your day? How was your meeting? You know, how's the project going? How was the podcast? How was this? How was your weekend? So it is about noticing how you are answering that question. It's okay how you answer it. But that's an immediate opportunity for you to, you know, raise your self-awareness around, actually, is it clear to me? Do I know how I am describing my life's events to other people? Because every time you say, how was your weekend? You know, option one is to go, oh, well, you know, I got up Saturday morning with all these great ideas and then it just was a disaster and it went downhill from there and I don't know what the point of it was. Back to work and gosh, just what the hell, you know? So that immediately is giving you an instruction to your memory that that weekend was awful and you probably think that you're a naff person as a result of it. So it's like, can you notice how you are responding to things and how well do you do it? Or ask somebody, you know, ask a friend, ask a mate, ask a colleague to go, you know, when you ask me how I am, where do I normally respond? What do you notice about how I normally respond? That's an opportunity to ask for feedback. And then it's also then thinking about actually how you might want to just start to reframe it. Okay. And it's not about how you can suddenly just go, weekend was awesome. You know, it's like, be real, you know, be real about it. And I don't know if we'll get time, but there is a, you know, there's some nuances around different, you know, cultures about the UK and the USA. really simplistically, the USA is generally going to go, the weekend was awesome. And the United Kingdom is generally going to go, the weekend was awful. But I'm talking about hundreds of millions of people in there. So be careful with sweeping generalizations. Start to notice how you are describing things. And then that's about the meaning that you attach to events. And then that can go into actually your personal self-confidence, which is one of the dimensions of being resilient. So it's all interconnected, essentially.
I know, and it happens so fast.
Nanoseconds it happens, yes.
And it's, even I was describing something this past weekend and my husband kept being like, can't we just what if up that? Can we at least reframe how we're looking at that? And it's helpful to have someone that can, you know, give you that self-awareness or that check that says, yo, you don't really have to talk about it that way. But I'm super curious to understand what, you know, that research that you mentioned and the cultural differences between the US and the UK. Tell me more about that, of like why, because I can absolutely see myself in that. Like, yes, the weekend was awesome. Tell me why someone in the US, I know it's a generalization, might respond in that way versus someone in the UK. What did that research find?
It's not specific research. It's just observations over time. I can't. There might be a study out there that's shown it. So, you know, United Kingdom wise, you know, we're going to another continent now. But Australians, you know, they say that English people are whinging Poms is what they call us, because if you ask people in the United Kingdom, what's going on? So it's like either it's too hot, it's too cold. Or it's like, it's not right. So our response, generally speaking, is going to be something's not right. It's going to be in the negative. And I have noticed as well, when I work in different countries, you know, when I've been in the UK for a while, and, you know, people in the UK are lovely, awesome and wonderful. And I ask people, how they are when I'm going to a room, you know, you're going to get sense of responses. But then when you go to the USA, generally speaking, before I've done anything, the vast majority of people in the room have come up to me first and gone, hi, my name's Bob, Fred, Mary, Asif. You know, this is me, Russell, and I feel good today. And it's nice to meet you. And this is me. And these are my strengths. And these are my skills. You know, and you just have to get my mind in. All right. Yeah. Okay. I'm in the States. So this is culturally how they are. And it's great. It's not a criticism. And then the really interesting thing is, that real combination of sometimes fake it till you make it works. You know, if you're not feeling great, you can occasionally think yourself out of it. But actually, the risk is sometimes that you are masking something that you're not dealing with, essentially. So I think it's more difficult maybe if across the USA people are used to coming and saying, it's great, it's brilliant, it's awesome, this is me, let me tell you about myself. Which is nice. Sometimes less receptive to feedback. And then you have to work harder with the people in the United Kingdom to say nice things about themselves. It's because I talk to people about what are your strengths, play to your strengths, what's good about you, what's right about you. And in the United Kingdom, people are going, no, I'm not talking about my strengths. No, we don't do that around here. You know, that's not the right thing to do. So it's just really curious to me about, you know, these vastly different, you know, ways in which, you know, two countries approach that natural thing of like, how are you, essentially?
Absolutely. Well, and are we in a space where we feel confident, comfortable to give you, or is there trust or psychological safety, all of the things, you know, where we can expand? Do we feel the pressure to do it? Do we not feel confident to do it? So many curiosities. And again, all of these interactions, I'm sure someone is like, what do you mean? The how are you? That was such a small interaction in my day. But yet it can tell so much.
Yes, absolutely. And I did a bit of an experiment. So I did do a lot of networking. I just made the choice a couple of years ago forget about the pandemic in things at times, to be more honest with people. When you do a lot of networking and people say, how are you? So I would, regardless of how I was feeling, whether it was good or not so good, I just was made a point of being really clear about how I was genuinely feeling. And so sometimes it would be a case of, I was saying, oh, you know, I'm not feeling the best today. Actually, it's not been the greatest week. And, you know, actually right now I'm feeling a little deflated. And it was fascinating to just watch people's responses to that. You know, some were like, they didn't know what to do. Some were like, oh, that's interesting. Actually, I'm glad you said that because I'm not feeling great either. So I thought I'd have to come here today and put a face mask on. And I don't now because you've been honest with how you're feeling. And sometimes it was a case of, you know, I feel really good today. It's like these things have contributed to me, you know, in this moment in time. You ask me how I'm feeling. Actually, I'm feeling really good for these reasons. And people responded to that as well. So I just made the choice. And it fascinated me where my then networking conversations, it felt like that they were more authentic.
Absolutely. And I know we talked a little bit on the pre-call about, you know, a class talking about how to create deeper social connection and why we need that during difficult times. And all of the research that that organization found is that, of course, when we can step into that vulnerability and, yes, you know, say, my day was hard, or I am really tired, I am deflated, how someone feels more connected to us, and that deeper connection improves our resilience. This is research back, everyone. Just as a reminder, I know it seems silly to be like, but I'm fine and I'm okay. Well, if you go a little bit further, there's a lot more that you can actually find in terms of benefits. But I know that you have a perspective and one that you share with your clients about how to build resilience. And I'm so excited to dive into it. And so let's level set. You have a wheel. Tell our audience a little bit more about your perspective and how you help people to build their resilience.
Yeah. So if anybody asks me, you know, so how do I build my resilience, Russell? My response is there's this wheel. There's the resilience wheel, which is a build upon a load of work, a research, resilience research from Robertson Cooper here in the UK. And I've added a couple of bits to it, essentially. So there are seven aspects to the wheel, essentially. And what I want people to, my clients that I work with and people listening now, it's like, you know, you need to engage with your wheel to build your resilience so that you can actually shift into this place called thrive. I would like people, as well as to remember springing forward with learning, I'd really love people to sort of remember this idea that we sometimes think that we're only being resilient when we are coping and surviving and hanging on by our fingernails. So my intention when I work with clients when I talk about resilience is actually, how do we get you into thriving? Which is that even though there might be a lot of challenges going on in your life and work, you can genuinely state, and I'm good. I'm in a really good place. I know how I'm going to face into these situations. So there are seven aspects to the—
Can I ask a quick question about thriving dive in? So is thriving your, like, how do you define what thriving is? Is it your confidence and your ability to navigate this? How do you define what that looks like?
So it's really understanding that in as many situations as possible, you are tapping into your strengths, the things that naturally energize you, and you are playing to your strengths. And so I use a psychometric strength scope. So people might be familiar with Strengths Finder. It's these things that naturally energize you. And so it's about how you harness those. So even though you might be in challenging circumstances, when you then play into your strength, you are more naturally energized to be able to tackle, look at, face into, approach, make decisions and choices about what you're going to do. Feel optimistic, you know, optimism grounded in reality. And then you eventually get feelings of hope as long as you're grounded in reality. So it is a lot more about actually, do I understand what my strengths are, and am I playing to them and utilizing them and harnessing them in these situations? And then you will be feeling energized, and therefore you can turn around and go, yeah, there's a lot going on, but I'm in a really good place. I'm feeling good about this, you know? So it's not the fact that you can be thriving all of the time. We're human, so there will be times, unfortunately, in life where we will be coping and surviving and hanging on by our fingernails. But then it is about understanding how you are then going to shift from the coping, surviving into the thriving space by tapping into your strengths far more and thinking about this question about how are you that we've just talked about. You know, how you answer that question will be different about whether you're thriving or surviving or coping. So it'll give you some clues. So people, even here now, you know, just get a blank piece of paper and do three columns, coping, surviving, and thriving, and actually just write down on these three columns, how do I know when I'm coping, surviving, or thriving? What am I like? What do I say? How do I behave? How do people describe me in these different instances? And then you could immediately give yourself some clues about where you might be.
My God, yep. If you are like me, and when Russell just asked, how do you know if you're coping or surviving? I am typically not the person you want to hang out with. I am irritable. I am cranky. I am short. Those are my, you know, because I don't have that positivity. I'm very negative or cynical, skeptical. Those are maybe my cues. Maybe they're yours, or this is just a sign to avoid me or notice that I'm not in a great place.
And it's not a bad thing, Jen. It's not, I'm never over the thing of like ever criticizing anybody for being in a particular place. It's just like, how well are you noticing where you are? And it's that question, that coaching question of like, how well is this serving you right now, or how helpful is this for you right now? Some people might need some time to wallow. They might need to go, I know where I am, and I would like to be here for a little bit longer because it is just serving me, and I'm aware that I can't be here forever. So come back and ask me again, and then you can help me. You know, that your social support network, you can help me come out of this wallowing is what I would suggest.
I love that you shared that, because it's not about forcing toxic positivity on anyone. No. It's acknowledging where you are. Is it serving you? Is it not? How long do you want to be there? Because there's space for all of it, but you have to take that time, going back to the jump and your recommendation, to reflect on how it actually is helping or hurting you. But okay, I have to dive into the wheel. I know I took this on a tangent there, so I'm so sorry.
Right. Good.
So let's come back to the wheel. Tell me more. Let's baseline it, because I know we won't be able to talk about all of them, but let's hear about all seven.
Yep. So we'll talk about all seven, and I'll just try and give a very brief little example in each. Some of it we've talked about already. So, and when people are listening now, so it's on my website or a blank piece of paper, you know, you can draw it, and it's a bit of a self-assessment tool. Just score yourself out of 10, or like put a color to it, or smiley face, or, you know, different emoji. So it's like rate yourself in these different areas. So heart of resilience is our attitude. So right at the center of the wheel is our attitude. And the thing that always fascinates me about that bit is our attitude includes our beliefs. I'd like people to remember that a belief, it's something that we behold to be true without basis in fact. So you've got to challenge your beliefs a lot of the time with your attitude. Then the next one is purpose. So it's being curious about, actually, have you got a purpose? And the purpose is a little bit more sort of overarching than goals. So goals help you achieve your purpose. So my purpose is, by the year 2025, I want to positively affect 100,000 people. And right now I'm up to 44,212, essentially. So I appreciate that there is some like smart goal stuff in there, but the world likes to hear numbers and statistics, you know, so I put that in. And that drives me, it gets me out of bed, it helps me understand how well I need to be able to achieve that, and what type of human I need to be. So that's my purpose. Then we've got confidence. So playing to your strengths builds natural confidence and natural resilience. So confidence is our balance of positive, negative thoughts. Then we've got the lovely word of adaptability. So that gets thrown around a huge amount of the time. So remember, definition of adaptability is openness to change. And I'd like people that are listening now, so it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do the change. You're open to it. Okay, so agile, so there's a difference between adaptability and agile. Agile is actually you can do the change quickly. You can make the decision to do the change quickly. So when you work upon your openness and your curiosity and the openness to new ways of doing things, it also helps you be more agile. We then have our support network, which we've referenced a lot. Just make sure that you've got, you know, all the people that in your life, there's a good balance of people that energize you and you know, support you and tell you your home truths, And we will have to spend time in our lives with people that we don't enjoy spending time with. Sometimes it's family. So it's just about what's your balance around that and get it into a good place. Then there's meaning, which we've talked an awful lot about today, about how do you answer that question about how are you? What's your self-talk? So the stories we tell ourselves, because every time we tell they ask the question about how you are, we're imprinting a muscle memory inside ourselves about we've had a good experience or a bad experience, or I'm an okay person or I'm a terrible person. So the meaning that we attach to events. And finally, energy, which is going back to playing to your strengths when I work with leaders. And that is also the space where we're also thinking about well-being and diet and exercise. That goes into the energy space. I am not an expert on the diet and exercise piece, you know. But energy, when I work with clients, is far more about their strengths profile. So those seven aspects, and they're all interconnected. Every time you engage with one of them and make it slightly better, it has positive knock-on effects on all of the others. So I support clients on their resilience wheel, essentially.
I love it. And as you were going through, Russell, I was scoring myself. I was doing the 1 to 10 that you prompted our audience to do. And I'm curious, looking at my scores, are there any that you notice maybe people struggle with more than others? Or are they pretty equal? What do you see in your experience?
I'm really curious about not many people have a purpose. That's really, or it's not something that's really obvious to them. And it's sort of a case of why should it be, Russell, as well? But, you know, an awful lot of the time, I'm really interested and curious about so many people sort of say, God, yeah, purpose. That's really, wow. Oh, I've never thought about that. Oh, gosh, I need to go away and think about that. And then when I work with leaders, I also then ask the additional question around what's your leadership purpose? So, you know, all these things are interconnected and they're going to be crossovers, but it's actually what's your overarching purpose of being here and actually what's your leadership purpose? Because that really helps leaders as well align their head, heart, and their gut, essentially, to feel really good sense of grounding about who they are and what they're trying to achieve and how they want to lead their teams. So, and then other than that, really, it's an absolute classic, Jen, of, it depends. I haven't got like over here in this place, they're all like support network. Yeah, there's no hard and fast rule about it, essentially.
No, and just more curious, because I'm like, I wonder if what I'm struggling with is more common, if it's more the time of what I'm going through, because I'm sure at other points in my time, I would have rated others, you know, differently, of course. But let's maybe... I know we didn't plan to necessarily talk about purpose, but since we talked about support network and meaning, why do you think it is hard? Because I know that in my past working with clients, purpose can be a really intimidating question and it can trigger, you talked about the interrelatedness, a higher feeling of self-doubt or getting it wrong. Tell me from your experience why purpose is more challenging for people. And I love the way you anchor it in terms of even thinking about life purpose, your work purpose. Tell me from your perspective why that one's a little bit more of a challenge for some people.
Because I think it's one that's really more heavily linked to the heart resilience, which is our attitude, because it's about their value system. So, you know, it is difficult. You can't walk into a room full of people and go, hey, tell us your values. You know, it's like you are asking that question essentially of like, who are you as a human? And that's not one of those questions. It's coaches and personal development professionals that are interested in those types of things. So it's finding ways to approach that question. So a lot of the time, because you've got so many different aspects of the wheel that are interconnected, you can come at the purpose from a different place, you know? So in terms of people doing their self-assessment on the wheel, so strengths-based approach, it's like, what's your highest score, you know? And let's start there, essentially. Let's talk about how come that's in a good place for you, what enables it to be in a good place, how does it stay in a good place? And then the next thing you do is either the next high score or somebody sort of saying, actually, this aspect of my wheel is pretty low and it is actually, it's really bothering me, you know, and go, okay, so clearly, you know, you want to go there. So to answer your question, the purpose is because it goes to your value system and the heart of who you are. And, you know, that's not a common conversation that people have.
Right. Going back to that reflection.
Yes. There you go. It's all interconnected.
Yeah, maybe taking it, hey, there's your next challenge to our listeners, you know, going out and doing a values assessment, being a little bit more curious or treating yourself as a human experiment, because we are.
Absolutely.
So maybe then coming into adaptability, because I do think VUCA, we should talk about it. Okay. Share what VUCA is for those in our listeners that might be unfamiliar with this.
Yeah. So to start with, I'm going to throw a load of buzzwords out there. So just bear with me. So there's VUCA and there's the counteraction to it, which is VUCA Prime. Well, probably one of the good ways for people to think about VUCA is, in my opinion, it's a really great way to have a better conversation around the sentence of change is constant. So, you know, so it's like a bit of a no-brainer, but, you know, you don't want to walk into a change workshop and a facilitator go, right, change is constant, suck it up, off you go. You know, don't do that. So the VUCA thing is essentially a way of saying change is constant. However, here's loads of ways in which we can actually do something about it. So the world that we live in is and always is somewhere volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And then to counteract those four, you need the same acronym. You need vision, understanding, clarity, and agility. And so there are little definitions around those eight words. And when you unpick those, you also have peak performance skills and leadership capabilities that support them. And they all link to the resilience wheel. So, you know, when I work with clients, it's like, how do I lead myself and my team well in this full-on, crazy, always-on world? It's like resilience and VUCA, everything you need to know, it's in there somewhere. We just need to support you to find a way to pick the bits that you need to have a look at. And probably the understanding one, linking to, I think, for a lot of what we talked about today, what they mean about the understanding one is that you, as a human, you need to understand that you have to feel comfortable feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Lovely sentence, you know, that I can say. And, you know, what that means for listeners is that often in life, or when you go to work, there'll be sort of some days you'll be, when you're attuned to yourself, your self-awareness, you sort of go, gosh, today, oh, wow, it's a bit, oh, full on. And you go, yeah. So today's a day you're going to have to feel comfortable in that space.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, it's like, how do you get yourself there? And it's linked to what's your current levels of natural resilience? How are you playing to your strengths? And that will help you with your comfort levels in sort of being in a place which is like, today is a bit, it's a bit crazy today. And I'm a bit sort of, help, you know, that type of feeling. But yeah, comfortable feeling uncomfortable.
I love that. I mean, it ties into that. I guess the quote that I love, and I don't know who said it, I don't remember, but comfort should scare you, right? Comfort should be that, like, when we do get so comfortable that it does drain our resilience because we get too comfortable. And just that simple reminder that we have to embrace the discomfort, because likely, I'm reading an older book right now called The Obstacle is the Way. And that talks about stepping into your discomfort, right? You have to lean into the obstacle because that truly is your solution for your growth and your success and your happiness. Russell, I hate that we have to wrap up this conversation, but I still am going to ask this final question before I ask you how the audience can get in touch with you. We covered a lot. I know we didn't get to talk maybe about all of the seven aspects of resilience, but what would be some closing thoughts, insights, or perspectives you would want to share with our audience?
So under the guise that sort of human beings only do something when they see the value and benefits to themselves. For everybody that's listening now, it's like, how will your life be better when you choose to increase your levels of resilience? What will you have more of? You know, will you have more calm, more opportunity to thrive, more energy, more happiness, more optimism? What will it be, essentially? I'm really going back to the definition around resilience of springing forward with learning. It's understanding actually what enables you to be open to learn. That's a question that I would like people to think about. I will go with that for now because I could just keep talking.
I love that. You gave our audience so many different things, whether it's going through the resilience wheel and ranking themselves, asking themselves, what do they look like or how do they show up when they're, you know, coping, surviving or thriving? Of course, doing these reflection questions. I think you gave a lot of great coaching tools for our audience. And thank you for that. Good. So now I have to ask this, how can our audience get in touch with you? How can they find out more about what you do, about the 7 aspects of resilience? Tell us more.
So really simple. It's the website. It is theresiliencecoach.co.uk. You put that into, you know, a search engine and you'll find the website and the wheel is on there. The podcast is on there about how to build your resilience with specific episodes around each aspect of the wheel. And there's obviously this, like, the contact Russell form is on there as well. So just go to the website. I'm on social media. So if anybody wants to connect on LinkedIn, please do. But the website, theresiliencecoach.co.uk, is the easiest way to get hold of me.
Head on over there. I mean, to our audience, you owe it to yourself to be more resilient because your life, your happiness, your confidence, everything is on the other side of it. So take what Russell had shared today. See how you can maybe apply that to your life and you'll be happier for it. Russell, thank you so much for giving us your time, your expertise. I really enjoyed our conversation and I'm just grateful that we had you on the show today.
You're very welcome, Jen. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Leadership Habit Podcast. I really enjoyed my conversation with Russell. I felt like he gave a lot of great reflection questions and actions that you can take to foster your own resilience. And when we think about resilience, sometimes resilience comes down to even building your skill sets. And I want to take a moment to just talk about how Crestcom International might be able to help you develop your skill set. Crestcom is a global leadership development organization that's committed to giving leaders the tools that they need to survive and thrive in this uncertain, ambiguous, and sometimes challenging world. We know that work can be challenging, but our goal is to give you the right tools that you need to make it a little bit easier and to also make your work experience more enjoyable. If you're interested in learning more about who Crestcom is and how we can help you, head on over to crestcom.com. There you can request a complimentary leadership skills workshop where we can come in and work with you and your team. You can also find out more about our upcoming webinars, see additional episodes of the podcast, and download our ebooks and white papers. Head on over to crestcom.com. There you can find out how we can support you in being your best. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Until next time.